Are you ready for a great podcast? For once in my life, I could find a reason, blossoming like a whole new season, coming all together and settling like a prayer. A prayer that was prayed on both knees, and a good warm feeling, not even saying please, just say it like you know, cause I know that it'll come to me. Prayer that was prayed on both knees and a good warm feeling, not even saying please, just say it like I know, cause I know a little come to me. For once in my life I feel free, for once in my life things are just easy. Welcome to the Should Be Known podcast. I'm Clayton Pixon, and we are going to have a great little podcast. Why? Because it's Sunday morning. It's early. Nobody's up. Nobody's going to step on my kitchen floor while we're doing this, and I'm not going to worry about it, which is great. All right. Well, we are talking about the principles of psychology, trying to understand them, and taking a little fresh approach here, aided by the revealed truths that we have in our day. And just by, some insights into self-deception that we've been given. And we're making some good headway, I would say. I hope you're enjoying this journey. I am, and I'm excited to do this little episode with you. So, jumping right in. Did you like that little music thing? That's a song I would like to finish the words to. And it really started on guitar, but I did it with that little piano accompaniment thing, and it's kind of cool that way, too. It's called For Once in My Life. Anywho, jumping right in, like I said, I made a big deal in an earlier episode because I was reading all over the place that nobody knows what causes depression. And I was saying somebody should know, and that surely we can know. And I think that's true. We should be able to wrestle it to the ground. But in another sense, each case is different, right? So the real cause of each one is different. And by cause, I mean prevailing factor. Like there are many factors involved. You know, for one person, it may be that it's a certain time of year, winter or something, and that's what pushes them over the line. And maybe for somebody else, they got laid off recently from work, and that pushed them over the line. And maybe for somebody else, their age is getting pushed up there and they're beginning to have health problems or loneliness issues, or somebody needs to socialize more and that's what's pushing them over the line. But for all of them, I think self-deception is going on. And that's just the mechanics of it. And I want to talk about the mechanics of it a little bit and how there are many kind of factors playing into it. It's like how a car goes. Okay, you could say, well, what makes a car go? And one person is going to say, well, every time the car goes, the tailpipe puts out this kind of smoky air stuff. And so that's must be what makes it go. And somebody else can be like, well, I don't think that accounts for all of it. I mean, look, these wheels are turning. Obviously, the wheels make it go. And somebody else would say, well, but what's turning the wheels? Something's got to be turning those wheels. And then somebody eventually discovers the drive shaft. And they have this theory that the drive shaft is what makes the car go. Well, it's really a combination of things, the drive shaft and the wheels, right? And somebody else has got to be, well, what makes that drive shaft turn? And then come up with the theory of the engine. Well, what's making the engine go sometimes and not go sometimes? And there's, you know, different things that are involved. There's the gas pedal, there's the gas, there's lots of principles involved in how the engine operates. There's the brakes. Somebody might notice, you know, the tailpipe where the red cars go faster, and there must be some science to that. But not everything's right and true. But there is a correct and true explanation for why a car goes. Let's take that analogy, and in the same way, there's an explanation for why a person gets depressed, why a person gets anxiety. And I feel like we're not quite there yet. We haven't described it yet. You knew I was going there, right? Have you ever heard the kind of story of different people trying to describe an elephant, a bunch of blind guys trying to describe an elephant? They can't see the whole thing, but one guy feels its trunk, and they said, well, it's kind of long and, you know, whatever. And somebody else would feel the foot and be like, well, no, it's kind of stumpy and it's got these toes on it or something like that. And somebody else might feel the tail and be like, well, no, it's kind of stringy. And somebody else would feel the tummy and be like, no, it's really, really round and, you know, whatever. You've got these different perspectives, but nobody can see the whole thing. And it takes some filling in of missing data and some kind of what scientists do with astronomy and other areas of science and other areas of life where you have to fill in the missing stuff and you have to put things together, but try to do it in an accurate way based on evidence, not just theory or whatever, to get the true picture of the elephant, right? Or the car. All right, well, that's how I feel like psychology is with these different theories. We're trying to explain how the car goes, and one theory will say, well, look at these chemicals in the brain. I mean, they are definitely different when somebody is depressed or anxious. So it's obviously a chemical thing. It's obviously caused by these chemicals. I mean, look at this serotonin and stuff. It's got to be this serotonin or whatever. And somebody else will be like, well, I notice when people are depressed, they're not socializing enough. So obviously it's a deficiency in socialization and support system. And somebody else notices, well, look here. These people who are depressed have these negative thoughts that don't seem reasonable. And they have this pattern to them. So obviously depression is caused by these negative thoughts. And that's kind of Aaron Beck's cognitive behavioral theory. Well, that's the cognitive part anyway. Somebody might notice, oh, this person has learned that nothing they can do seems to help their situation, nothing they can think of. And that's true. That's how it is with self-deception. It blinds you to what you're doing and the solution. So anything you can think of to do doesn't help you. It only makes it worse, it seems. So somebody could say, well, obviously these learned behaviors are the problem. Well, really, the truth is you've got your wheels and you've got your drive shaft or your transmission and or both, depending on if you've got rear wheel drive, right? And you've got the engine and you've got the gas tank and you've got the gas and you've got the gas pedal. You've got a steering wheel. You do have a tailpipe and you do have windows and the color of the car and stuff, but not all of that is relevant to what makes it go. So yeah, there are all those parts. Okay, so much for reading my notes. But that's mostly what they say. Okay, and I feel like self-deception is one of those, okay? I don't know if it's the engine, I don't know if it's the wheels, but it's common to every one of them. It's not one of the things like the color of the car. Know what I'm saying? And I think it's a missing piece. Like, maybe other people have identified different parts of the drive chain, but they haven't found this self-deception aspect, which is necessary to make it all happen. They found nature and nurture and all this stuff. But so, may I propose self-deception? What's self-deception? Well, we have about 10 episodes on it. So, we're not going to talk about it too much this time. Okay, what do you think of that? What do you think of that general picture? I think it's good for a person who's advancing a theory. That we usually don't do it as theorists. But for a person who is advancing a theory, I think it's good and healthy for them to realize, well, this is just one part of the thing. This is one factor. It's not the whole explanation. Although most theories try to overstep their bounds, don't they? Try to explain everything. Oh, we can see this principle of evolution happening and things changing to adapt to their environment. Well, let's just apply that to the whole entire scheme of life and explain every behavior in terms of, you know, why it's adaptable. Well, how do you explain maladaptive behaviors? I mean, that's the whole thing we're looking at, people. I don't see how you can explain at least maladaptive behaviors with a theory that is based on adaptation. Do you get me? Okay. Let's see if I missed anything here. For some reason I mentioned medication in here. See, I still don't understand medication. I don't understand why everybody would have a chemical imbalance. I feel like there's got to be something else going on in our society or something that's causing people to have mental illness. It just doesn't make sense to me that everybody's got a chemical imbalance. It seems like nature wouldn't work that way. Evolutionary theory. Well, I guess they might say, oh, we're adapting too fast. We've been, you know, all these millions of years, we've been learning to adapt to these circumstances. And in modern society, well, we have all these different circumstances, so it doesn't match up, and so we all need medication. And our genes are just not built for it. Yeah, I don't feel comfortable with that theory. Okay, are we having a good time? So if you were to ask somebody what makes a car go, I could tell you. I mean, even me, who's not like a car engineer, but I know enough about car mechanics to explain that. Well, you've got this combustion principle that oxygen mixed with certain fuels or whatever will create a expansion of the gas, rapid expansion, and then you get a mechanical thing that will take advantage of that, and you can move it, and then you turn it into this spinning crankshaft, and all of a sudden, if you time things right and open these valves, you can use that principle to make this engine that will rotate with a lot of force, depending on how much fuel you give it. And then you find a way to mechanically transmit that to the wheels, and then the wheels turn and it makes a car go. Whatever. You could get as detailed or not in that explanation. But in the same way, you could explain how depression works or anxiety. We should be able to. Well, what you have is, you know, person, depending on their personality, they are more or less maybe sensitive to certain stimuli, and they learn these coping habits, and there's going to be a whole explanation for that, so that they end up believing these negative self-talk, these negative things about themselves more than some other people. And see, there's already, I feel like I can't even explain all that much. There's gaps in our knowledge. But they believe these things. The question I have in my mind is, why do they believe those more than other people? Even if, is it a matter of sensitivity? Is it a matter of sensitivity combined with maybe other factors that have caused them to learn that coping style or something in their life? Anyway, that's what I would like to understand. But anyway, there should be an explanation. Somebody should be able to explain why a person gets depressed in a basic way like that, like I just explained the car. Or why a person gets anxiety, or why a person is schizophrenic, I believe, or has narcissism, or any number of other conditions, any number of other patterns, mental illnesses, ways of behaving and interacting with the world that are maladaptive, or adaptive for that matter. We should be able to offer an explanation for those things. Don't you agree? Yeah, so this is my final question for the day, is why do some people learn this pattern of believing kind of the negative self-talk, believing what, you know, your adversary is trying to tell you, as opposed to, you know, what God would tell you? What would God tell you? I love you. You mean everything to me. You are doing great. And I might want you to change this or that, but I love you. You are so great, and you don't need to worry. And I want you to have peace. I want you to be happy. And I want you to continue to try. And I want you to develop and learn and become more like me from these hard experiences. What would the adversary say? What would the other side say? What a loser you are. You can't even get this right. You are pretty worthless. Nobody cares about you. There is no God. Or if he hasn't won that point, you know, God doesn't like you. You're in his disfavor because you've done so many things wrong. People don't like you. You're a loser. You might as well quit trying. You know, those kind of things. Why do some people get in that pattern where they're believing those things? And is that one cause, at least, of some mental issues, right? All right, this has been a great podcast. All right, really briefly before I end, I want to tell you how to subscribe to a podcast if you don't know. And if you do know, good for you. I hope you're listening to some great podcasts. But if you don't know, then what you need is first a podcast app. It's called a podcatcher, technically, and it's just an app. If you have iOS, which is an iPhone, basically, you need like Apple Podcasts or Spotify or something like that. If you have an Android phone, like a Galaxy or like many other phones, you could get Google Podcasts, or you could use Spotify or any number of other podcast apps. Do a search, find the search function. Look for Clayton Pixton, look for Should Be Known, look for whatever you're looking for. When you find what you're looking for, you can either listen to it or go ahead and subscribe to it, and there will be some kind of subscribe button. So do that, and you're all set to go. Then it will automatically be downloaded when you open that app, depending on how it's set up. So I encourage you to do that, and look for good podcasts. This is not the only good podcast. It's just one of the best. Speaking of which, I hope you enjoyed it and learned something. I think I did. And let's go out where we came in. I'm Clayton Pixon. This is the Should Be Known podcast. And this is For Once in My Life. For once in my life, I could find a reason, blossoming like a whole new season, coming all together, settling like a prayer. Prayer that was prayed on both knees, and a good warm feeling, not even saying please, just say it like I know, cause I know that it'll come to me. Yeah, prayer that was prayed on both knees, and a good warm feeling, not even saying please, just say it like I know, know that it'll come to me. Yeah, and for once in my life, I feel free. For once in my life, things are just easy. All right, have a great one.